Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do every day, Monday through Friday, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. I'm pretty sure there's someone in your network, maybe there's someone in your house, maybe there's one of your coworkers who's interested in the entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they're ready to quit their day job, but they won't be able to learn the information that we're sharing today without you and your assistance. So go ahead and share the show with them, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show, especially not today's show. Today's show is brought to you by the Real Estate Playbook. You are invited to attend the Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. It's in person and virtual. The link is in the Facebook post. Go ahead and check that out. And so while you're checking out the Real Estate Playbook, while you're sharing it with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And today's show, we got a lot of gentlemen. They tell me the men don't talk. I can hardly ever get men to come on the show, maybe one out of five. But today, we got three out of four. So I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Andrew Capp. Andrew's latest mission is in sharing the content he presents in his number one best-selling The Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. Since its release, the book has enjoyed well over 1,000 five-star rave reviews on Amazon and shows readers why they've had trouble following through on an easy daily routine of gratitude methods so that they can finally conquer their procrastination once and for all. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me. Super pumped to be here. That's all I got to say. I'm really, really excited.
I'm excited to have you. So tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Yeah, well, you know, you gave such a great intro and it really said it all in terms of, you know, what I'm passionate about and what I do. Like you said, I mean, I wrote, like you said, sometimes guys don't want to talk. I did all the talking on my cover here with probably the longest title that we'll ever see. Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. And it's basically a situation where back in 2004, I first learned about the Law of Attraction, just being an entrepreneur, looking for positive mindsets, positive modalities, Law of Attraction being one of many, but I could never really get it to quote unquote work, which I'm sure people can relate to. It was always unreliable. And I found out 4 years later that I was the one that was unreliable because I had what was basically the worst week of my life. That's the way I describe it. Because I lost 90%. I quit my business. And 3 days later, my girlfriend of 3 years quit on me over text. So,
oh, wow.
I begin a Monday and I've got everything. And by Friday, everything's gone. So I'm like, okay.
So she was like, without the money, there's no honey.
Well, you know, it's her, in her defense, it was without the relationship. Because here's the funny thing. I was so desperate to get my business off the ground and I was struggling so much, I couldn't give the relationship the energy that it deserved and needed. So when I'm finally on the brink and I'm like, okay, screw this, let me throw this away and dive in. 3 days later, she's like, nah, too little, too late. And over text, she's gone. So I'm just like, all right, well, life is not so fun right now. And I basically kind of had this weird epiphany of something's got to change once and for all. And that Law of Attraction thing kind of sort of worked whenever I actually did it and didn't stop. So I had this attitude of like, I don't care what happens, when it happens, why it happens, any of that. I'm going to go all in with this once and for all, which is really just code for I'm actually going to commit to 5 minutes a day of gratitude or visualization, and I'm not going to stop this time. And the results were miraculous, for lack of a better word, because 2 weeks later, I felt better, which is saying a lot with a broken heart. Aww. 3 months later, I'm in a brand new, healthier relationship. 4 months later, I'm making more money than at any point in my life before then. And 6 months later, like, everything's different. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm running on all cylinders. And I basically learned through this really harsh lesson that whatever this thing is, I call it the Law of Attraction, but the trick to making it work is by working it. And I learned from then on, not through some guru, not through some book, not through some other person, but through my own life experience, that all I have to do is 5 minutes a day and something will happen by hook or by crook. And it was only 10 years later, after a career, you know, call it a career, marketing consultant, copywriting, really leaning that direction, where I just wanted to do something new in my business that, to be candid, I wouldn't be bored. I'd be excited to engage with customers that wrote in and had questions. I'd be excited to start a YouTube channel around it. I would wake up every day excited, ready to go, whether it's 8 a.m. on the Pacific or 8 a.m. Eastern, right? And I've just been riding that wave. I put it out November 2019 and very happy to say that whatever I put down there resonated in the way that I was hoping it would. And reviews and feedback have been great. And I've just been riding the wave ever since.
With over 1,000 five-star rave reviews, I think it's more than just a little bit of a response. Now, one of the things that you said was very interesting to me, and it's a common buzzword that I'm starting to hear, like more people are focused on fun and things that are not boring. And it's interesting because all my life, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't work under these conditions. And they're like, why? I'm like, because it's boring. It's boring. And people say, well, life is not boring. Welcome to, I mean, not fun. Welcome to adulthood. It's like, this is life. This is the life you have to achieve. But for you, you found a different way.
Yeah. You know, I'm very hard-nosed and I'm very tunnel vision. And I've done the hard thing before and I can do it again. And I think it's important to be able to do the hard thing when you need to. But by that same token, in my own experience, if you can find the sweet spot of something that you really enjoy, you're just going to so much more effortlessly bring the energy and intention that you want to. You're going to bring creativity. You're going to bring innovation. You're going to make wiser business or life decisions. So when you're having fun, for me, it's more of like a cheat code and a better formula than doing it the hard way. Because if you have a choice between the two, you should be able to do both. When you have a choice, you should pick that one. When you don't have that one in mind yet, get ready to do the hard stuff. But I think it's important to have a balance while finding out as much about yourself as possible so that when you do hit that sweet spot, you will take off so much more quickly. And it really is a shocking thing. Like, you know, I sold independently 50,000 copies of the book in like 13 months. And I didn't expect any kind of numbers. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just had an intention of this is going to make an impact. And I attribute those 50,000 sales and all the reviews was because I was having so much fun that I did engage very intentionally with my customer. Amazon took away the functionality, but when they had it, when someone left me a five-star review, rather than just like kind of sitting back and calling my significant other and like, hey, check this out. No, I wrote back to them. I replied in the comment when Amazon had the functionality, thanking them personally. I feature five-star reviews on my YouTube channel. I put it all over Facebook. So I celebrate it because I'm genuinely excited about it. And I think that bleeds over into the success. And really just in the word of mouth and getting things out there for people.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about intention, we have to also talk about maybe spirituality. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Isha Patel. Isha is an international channeler, speaker, author, healer, and spiritual mentor to world-class coaches, speakers, and entrepreneurs who are here to serve humanity and raise the vibration of the planet. Over the last 5 years, she has helped over 10,000 people to become leaders and successful business owners. Good morning, Isha. How are you?
I'm very well, and thank you for the excellent introduction.
You are welcome. Thank you for being awake in the middle of the night in Australia. So I'll try not to ask too many hard questions.
Yes, yes, 1 a.m. I think my brain is still fired up, though.
We'll see. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What are you passionate about?
I think you covered a lot of it in the intro. My big, big passion comes from this desire to really help entrepreneurs reach their highest potential. You know, I'm very lucky and very grateful to be surrounded here, especially in the Gold Coast now, with some incredible entrepreneurs. It's almost like every single person I meet in the streets is creating some phenomenal global thing in the industry that they care about. And what I get to do is I get to help them really find that magic. You know, there's a space that I discovered where there's room for strategy, there's room for sales, there's room for marketing, copywriting, all those wonderful things. And as much as they are incredibly helpful for business, actually resonate a lot with what Andrew said, in that there's that magic, that attraction, that magnetism. And I realized that for me, when I had that, it allowed me to be so much more fulfilled and successful in a way that I didn't realize. You know, actually, I felt like I had this plan for my life, and, you know, we all have plans for our life, right? And then again, on a very similar thread, I went through a breakup, and in the process of going through that, I had a massive, massive spiritual awakening. out of that awakening is actually what came my business, because I realized that I didn't want the white picket life, because before that point, I had it all from the perspective of I had the partner and the career lined up, and I had the 0.9 carat flawless D ring, you know, diamond on my finger. Like I had it all, you know, I ticked all the boxes and I was really unhappy, like really, really unhappy. And then when I finally turned around one day, it was just like, I can't do this anymore. I felt like I had this massive expansion in my chest, and that became the catalyst for just all sorts of wonderful things. I'm not sure about your audience, Sharifa, and how open they are to certain things, but I started channeling overnight. So for anyone who doesn't know what that is, I started opening up to certain guides and beings that were communicating with me, and they just gave me all this wisdom. From that wisdom was literally how my entire business was born. So I never actually said, hey, I'm going to start a business. It was more like, hey, you've got this meditation. And then I shared the meditation, and then people had a profound experience. And then I ran another meditation and another meditation. And fast forward 3 years down the track, I realized that there's only one of me and there's 7.8 billion people on this planet. And that's how I birthed Origin Activation, which is now an energetic healing modality that I now get to help empower other people to take this work out into the world so that they can benefit the same way that I've been able to receive so much from it.
Wow. We're going to have to hear more about that. Maybe you can teach me how to channel while we're doing the show, but I'm going to come back to you, Isha. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the incredible Mr. Mike Bernstein. Michael launched Bernstein Financial Services in 1987 with an emphasis in tax accounting. This tax consulting and accounting firm prepares approximately 2,000 individual tax returns and more than 250 business returns. Wow. Each year, Mike is known as your working out accountant. His YouTubes are available, and he covers both fiscal and physical fitness. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning. Great to be here.
Great to have you. That made me chuckle. I don't know why, but I just like the whole idea of maybe I go back a little bit. People don't know this. I actually went to college to be an accountant. And then I was like, I can't stare at pennies. I got to be creative. So it just made me chuckle that you have this balance. So tell us, Mike, who are you and what are you passionate about?
Well, the funniest part about that is I have an engineering undergrad degree. Somehow I didn't like that and I went to accounting. So I'm not sure numbers is my game. But anyway, so the emphasis is not here about tax and accounting. I've done that for 33 years. I bought the business from my father 33 years ago. He did it for 25 years. I have clients I've seen, grandchildren of the clients. It's all fantastic. What I'm really here to talk about is financial planning. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about investing money. I mean, practical family planning. So what I found over the 33 years was a client would come to me, in this case, let's say it's a young couple, and they would be negative cash flow, or they were just going to have a baby. And I'd say, okay, are you going to open a college fund for the child? Are you doing a cash flow plan? Do you have life insurance? Now, most preparers, taxpayers won't talk about these things. They don't have time during tax season. They don't have time to do a show like this during tax season. This is how important I feel this is.
I was thinking right? The same thing. I'm giving you credit for that. I'm giving you credit.
Yeah. So I started doing that, and I realized there were six areas that I need all my clients to address to have a successful financial life, retire successfully, and care for their family. So I have two overriding mantras, if you will. One is protecting your family, and the other is securing your financial future. So everything I do with my clients relates to those two items. And the six areas of the book, which is called The Ultimate Guide, is you can see it here. And it's what's important about this book is that's how thick it is.
Oh, wow. This is I like not that. A textbook. I need that.
This is not a textbook. This is a very quick, fast, to the point, how to get some of these things done. And the areas are cash flow planning, retirement planning, college planning, insurance planning, estate planning, and tax planning. And frankly, tax planning is the least important of the six of them. Anyways, so what I realized over those 30 years of me helping people is that I didn't care that I couldn't bill for that. It gave me such a good relationship with the client, and I knew they were going to be taken care of later on. If one spouse died, I knew the other spouse would be taken care of. I knew they could retire well if they listened to me. I decided it was time to write a book and put it down. And so I did that about 6 months ago. I finished it. And I've obviously had all my clients try and read it. And because I can't make everybody do what I ask them to do, but I certainly I put it out there. And the reasons most do not plan for it are a couple different reasons. One, their financial people they surround themselves are with can't make money from it. In other words, preparers do taxes. They don't give that advice. I don't get fees from telling them to go to an insurance agent. So it tends not to happen very much. And the other items that stop people are it's hard. I'm embarrassed because I don't make enough money. I don't have any equity. Why would I need a living trust? I'll never be able to retire. I don't make enough money. Read the book. You can all do it. You can all do it. You need the 5 minutes of Andrew's discussion per day to make yourself understand, to have a better life. You do these things, you roll them up, you address them, and you get positive influencers around you to help you achieve those goals. Now, I want to go back to the sports thing. So why am I the working out accountant? I love to work out. I don't know. I was born with this gene. I started running when I was about 8 years old and never stopped. I did my first Ironman triathlon at 38. I've done a 100-mile run. I've done multiple, all sorts of different types of races and CrossFit. And in my book, the preface talks about sports. I relate it to doing planning because I do long events and you get detracted from those long events by hurting your ankle, or your foot, or something else happens. You got to get back on track. So many people fall off their financial plan or what they're doing and they need to get back to it and regroup and go for it and get your planning done.
Wow, that's a lot. I like it. It was very interesting though. I want to go back to this book. So if I understood you correctly, the book was released 6 months ago.
Yes.
Okay. So it would seem to me, was that a part of when you decided to release it, the whole global pandemic? Because so many people who were supposedly quote unquote secure in their life, the global pandemic hits, they have no saving, they have no retirement, they're really stuck. So was that part of your motivation to be able to help people during this trying time?
No, it wasn't. I had started it before then. It just was coincidental. And I have talked about that because people become more insecure when they use up their savings and have financial problems. But what I tell everybody is that there's no bad time to start. There's no bad time to make a plan. Sometimes you can't institute that plan right away because of the roadblocks in front of you. But if you have the plan, you can get back on track later on. So I've had several talks during this period on shows about that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, Mike, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the amazing Mr. Alan Maxwell. Humble upbringings did not deter Alan from an incredible and dynamic global journey in the Navy and later in the private sector as a defense contractor. While navigating complex dynamics in both worlds, he developed the rules of the system that will be critical to survive challenging circumstances, such as serving in the Philippines and political unrest. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, Sharice. I'm doing outstanding. Outstanding.
Oh my God, how do you survive in the middle of everything just going crazy? How do you survive, Alan?
Stay focused and understand the environment that you're in.
I like that. Okay, so what are you passionate about then?
So I'm very passionate about awareness. Over the years, I identified this system when I was a young man in Georgia. Just seeing what was going on around me and saw how people were reacting to reality or non-reality. But to me, it was like they were missing the whole boat. And so I tested this system as a young kid, but I didn't realize what it was. And then I went into the military with a chip on my shoulder, kid from Philly, you know, poor environment, yada, 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 poor me. And then I realized no one cared about my environment. No one cared for where I came from. I needed to get on board and participate in the system that I was in or get kicked out of it. And so I embraced it. And within 7 years, I went from making E5 as a brand new E5 in the military to getting commissioned as an officer. And that was a aha moment for me. And so when I realized that it worked, I tried it again upon my retirement from the military. And once again, I get out of the Navy on one day within 18 months, I'm a director of operations for a technology firm. And that's like Herculean advancements. And I decided to go into the federal government. And again, I went into the federal government and quickly rose to the ranks of a GS-15, which is, you know, people spend 30, 40 years and never make it to that rank. I did it again within 20 months. I still was bored and just wasn't getting my scratch itched or getting my itch scratched, so to speak, and decided that just out of unhappiness and just the people around me just didn't embrace what was going on. I just couldn't stand being in a negative environment. So I one day woke up, looked at this guy who said something really retarded to me one day. And rather than to, say bad things to him, I looked at him and told him he was my inspiration and motivation. And that was for me to leave that environment and start my own business. And so I walked out one day without a plan, but I just had drive and ambition. And my focus was failure was not an option. I was going to make this business succeed. And I took an idea and turned it into a multi-million international business within 12 years, or actually it's in about 5 years. Been in business now for 12 years, and decided that through some of my challenges in life, that people need to be aware or need to understand that it wasn't anything magic that I did. It wasn't anything special that I did. It was just a matter of being aware and understanding that there's rules of the game. There's rules in the system. I don't care what system it is. I mean, we see systems around us all the time. I mean, our recent pandemic was a system created for someone, not necessarily for the American people, but it was created for someone to take advantage of. The sad part about that was the sell a lot of people bought and missed what was really going on. And so that is where my passion comes, is to try to educate folks, is to see what you really see. Don't just see what you hear, but to see what's really there and look around, and don't just buy the storyline that someone tells you. You know, understand that a lot of things happen for underlying motivations, or someone's got an ego, or someone's got something going on that they're trying to convince you to abide by. And so I just talked to some friends yesterday, and 10 people saying the same things doesn't make a lie the truth. And a lie is a lie. So you have to be able to identify that, hey, this is a lie or this is the truth. So no matter how many people agree, that's irrelevant. You have to look at what's real. And so that's what I'm passionate about. So just be aware, look around, and then have rules of your own. And when I say the system is unforgiving, that's true. I mean, yes, we're all passionate. We're all caring, loving humans, but people don't care because they have their own issues to deal with. And they don't, it's like, I can't worry about yours when I'm fighting a fire over here. So you need to figure out what's going on. I'll give you all the tools, or, use my 15 rules or create your own 15 rules. Whatever rules you create, you have to be true to them and stick by them. You can't just say today, I'm never going to eat Jiffy peanut butter. And then not even a crisis situation, run and go get some Jiffy peanut butter. You just can't do it. Stick to your guns. I believe that you have to be true to yourself. I like, what Andrew was saying earlier about, sometimes situations drive you into an area that you need to be focused on and pay attention to, and to not let distractors, take you off your game. So I think that's very critical. And, my book, I tell my story through the challenges that I've endured. And instead of sitting back going, oh, poor me, again, I embrace the challenges. I embrace the near-death experiences. I embrace the potential overthrow of my department, or just to get me unseated from my department headship. It was like, no, I understand what you guys are doing, but I'm not going to allow that to destroy me. So I think everyone has to just be able to be aware, not cow down the first sign of trouble, dig in deeper when your adversary is attacking you, and just understand what your focus is and what your objectives are. And I believe you just really have to go after that. That's
absolutely. I love it. It sounds like a lot. I have so many different questions, so many places to start. But I want to go over to Isha real quick. Isha, we have 3 gentlemen on the show. I don't know how you work, if things just come through or not, but has anything stood out to you in particular so far? You're on mute, Isha.
Oh, yes, thank you. I really resonate actually with what Alan was saying. Actually, I wanted to sort of pull on some of those threads. So you know, one of my inquiries at the moment is how can we find the ultimate system to do whatever it is that we want to do? And I feel like you've kind of nailed that. You know, like if you've written a book on the system, I feel like you know the system. And so I want to know from you, how do you know the rules of the game? Because in entrepreneurship, I can say that no one actually tells you the rules. You kind of have to just get in there and figure it out. That's been my experience. And I've had coaches and I've had, you know, trainings and all that stuff as well. But it's almost like there's this unwritten rule of entrepreneurship in each industry. I think it varies from space to space. And until you've done it, no one actually tells you what that is. So I would love to hear more about what are these rules.
So I believe the rules are, number one, you have to identify the shop crawlers. You have to identify, you know, who's doing what. And the way you do that is get a mentor. You find someone that's in that environment that knows what's going on, that has an unbiased perspective of you or anything else. And you just watch them and see what they're doing. And then they could be a mentor knowingly or mentor unknowingly. And what I mean by that is that by just watching what they do, one of the things that I do, no matter what environment I get into, first thing I do is see who is the shot caller. Who is the person that's pulling the strings? And that's the person that I'm going to get to know. Because there's a lot of people that pretend, or a lot of people that think, or a lot of people that act, but there's only one real shot caller in the background that's making things happen. So that's the person you look for, or the situation. A lot of times when I was working at Space and Air Warfare Command, a lot of buzzwords were the key. So when you start talking the buzzwords, people, you're somebody that know. Well, not really, you just knew the buzzwords. That buzzword repetitive thing got you into another door. Once you got into that door, now you can start making the moves that you needed to make. So that served me well, just understanding that.
I like that. I think that was an excellent answer. I would love to hear your thoughts, Andrew, on how do you learn the rules? For me, my rule is there are no rules. But What is your rule, Andrew? How do you learn the rules of the game?
Yeah, well, you know, it's very interesting because, first of all, what a panel you've put together. And there's so many parallels, even though everyone is so different. And what I was thinking, even as Alan was answering that it comes down to in all fields, in all aspects of life, it comes down to situational awareness and self-awareness.
Yep.
And it's through your experience, through all those vantage points and all those things that you go through, that you're basically, your rules, you're either going to create your rules or the rules are going to be created for you, because we're in a constant feedback system. So I think the best thing you can do for yourself, if you're predisposed to it, is, you know, be aware of the situation, be aware of the self. Notice, like, you know, I'm going to put words in Alan's mouth, but notice when there might be a narrative that's being shoved down your throat, so that you could have discernment and you can say, okay, maybe the narrative's true, but I'm going to look at it closely. I'm not just going to take it for granted. So I think a huge thing about rules is, if to whatever measure you can through your own life experience, failing fast, but hopefully not failing too hard, come up with your rules as fast as possible that are in integrity with who you are, so that as you keep going through, all your other lessons are hopefully easier to absorb, and you're going to refine rules. I mean, I think that my rules are pretty set, but there's an open invitation for them to change over time, because I know that I'm never going to have all the input or all the information, because 5 years from now, something else is going to happen that's going to teach me something new.
That's right.
Right. And I would love to add to that, because I'm guessing you would know, Andrew, from, you know, doing law of attraction type of work, there's the rules that are, you know, societal rules. So things that we have created and agreed to, but then there's also universal law, you know, and when it comes to universal law, I feel like that's a whole different ball game, because I know in my experience, there are some things that I just know to be true. Like, for example, I know that the frequency I put out to the universe is indicative of the experience that I get back. And no matter what other rules there are, that particular rule is always going to be true. And in fact, I believe is going to trump all the other rules. So you can go into an industry and you can have, you know, the rules of the industry, but then there's also, if we're going to talk about who's calling the shots, it's like, let's take it back to that real level of what is actually that universal law. We're getting pretty deep here, right?
Yeah, but you
said something really key. If I can just jump in real quick, there's a second piece to that universal law, and I agree 100% with you. When you put it out there and it comes back, now you know. So now you have to take the next step. You don't get it back and go, yes, you go, okay, now I know I've set the tone, I've set the environment, now I understand the environment, now let me move within.
And right. You were going to say something?
Well, no, I was just going to say, it's interesting because, you know, that whole thing about attraction and energy, you can't quit it any more than you can quit gravity. And by that same token, when like what, you know, Alan was talking about, you see a shot caller, part of that is just because that person has that for it's going to sound a little airy-fairy, but they have a vortex of energy around them where they've built themselves up into that place. Right. And then it becomes a question of whose reality is stronger, your reality or their reality. And for right now, they're the shot caller, but there's nothing stopping you from still carrying a certain level of influence, not necessarily over them by manipulating them, but more about just observing yourself and responding to everything around you in a way that like, no, here's what I accept, here's what I don't accept. Right. And the things that are so strong in my reality, if there's something I can do to change them and I can, I'm going to. And if not, I'm gonna ask a question of why. Is it really about me? Is there something stopping me? Or is there something I'm just missing?
Right. Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts, Mike.
First of all, you don't know how much I feel at home with the others. Okay, you might not think so, tax and accounting. There's a piece of paper on my wall behind me. It says, remember yourself everywhere and always. And that was Psycho-Cybernetics, a book I read when I was around 20. And what I want to say about that is I feel that way about the financial area, all the things that you are all saying. And that if you don't guide your path, you're on a path. You just don't know which one you're on if you're not guiding it. You're not aware of what you're doing. So I monetize it and make numbers out of it. But basically it's, where do you want to be? What do you want your life to look like? And then apply that to all the areas that I have mentioned.
Yeah. I liked it. That was definitely very interesting. Now I want to go back and go a different direction for a minute. One of the things you mentioned, Alan, was you had a chip on your shoulder when you joined the Navy. So what would make this young kid with a chip on his shoulder even join the Navy?
I was running. growing up in Philly, we grew up in one of the worst areas in Philly, in North Philly. Mom and dad, not so much around us. Both were working to provide. My dad wasn't a really good dad. He was a provider, but he wasn't a real good dad. Mom gave him an ultimatum. I'm the youngest of seven. He didn't act right. She packed us up, sent us down to South Georgia. Coming from the inner city, going into the deep South in 1970 was a cultural shock that was just, I'm grateful that I experienced it, but at the time it was horrifying. You know, I didn't understand racism. I didn't understand integration. I didn't understand segregation. I didn't understand any of that stuff. So when I got to Georgia and saw that lifestyle, it was definitely not something for me. So out of just dislike and just uncomfortableness and didn't want to go back into the city, that's where, you know, survival was the fittest. In the South, you know, just that whole scene was bad. The Navy wasn't out. I was trying to get out so bad that I tried to join the Job Corps, not realizing that the Job Corps is for, you know, bad kids or troubled teens, but I just wanted out. And it's so funny, my sister and I next to me, we laugh about that today. It's like when we got to Georgia, we started our exit strategy, but we're too young to leave. So we had to wait till we're, you know, old enough to make a move. And as soon as I graduated high school, the very next week I was in the Navy.
Oh, wow. So you were running, you were getting away.
Interesting. That was my means out.
So. Got to get out. Sometimes you definitely do.
Now, I had to change that environment, you know, and that was a big thing.
But part of changing who you are at times can be changing your environment. We don't want to always go to that extreme, but that's one of the things that they talk about in the anonymous meetings. You know, you can't go to the bar if you want to give up drinking. You have to be able to change your environment, which brings me to the question I wanted to ask Andrew. One of the common themes that I see, Andrew, is Alan talked about this path that he was on. Mike talked about we're on this path, we're on this journey one way or another. And Isha talked more about these universal laws. So for you, Andrew, I think you kind of sum it up in the law of attraction, but one way or another, whether we're consciously making it happen or consciously seeing it happen, we're still attracting in our lives. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, by hook or by crook, it comes. And, you know, just first of all, if anyone that's skeptical about that, I understand. The example that I'll often give people is, let's take something tangible, lifting weights to get muscles. Now, I'll give you two possible quick examples. Explanations as to how that happens. Explanation one is you lift weights and you go to sleep at night and the muscle fairy comes and waves a magic wand and poof, you've got muscles.
Can we ask Mike if that happens? Mike, does that
happen? Hasn't happened for me yet, but you never know, right?
Got to work out and it happens. And
yeah, well, here's the thing. Explanation number two is like you're working out, you're lifting weights, you're putting so much stress on your body that your muscles are tearing in little areas. And then your body responds by healing, by filling in those little gaps with more muscle fiber, hence more muscles. Now that's a butchered explanation, but I'm sure if I ask somebody what's the right one, they're going to say it's that one. But I say it actually doesn't matter. What matters is you put in X, you get Y. You lift weights, you get muscles. And by that same token, whether you believe in the universe or energy or anything else or not, when you put out certain thoughts consciously or subconsciously, you're going to get results back. So for me, the answer becomes, with that understanding, knowing that that happens, what can I strategically do to think in a more positive direction that's going to invite and attract the things that I want versus being on autopilot, kind of what Isha was talking about, where like we grow up and society gives us laws and rules and really programming, whether it's intentional or unintentional, that magazine that you read, that TV show that you watch, all those things, we're being programmed, whether it's intentional or a lot. So it becomes a thing of, okay, what can I strategically take from this where I accept this, I invite this, and what can I move towards instead and focus in a better direction instead? For the other simple reason, I just want to be happier.
Now I'm gonna ask you this, because this is who I am and what I do. This is my life. This is Az Sharifa. I hear everything you're saying, Andrew, and it sounds so positive, but then you come back with the by hook or by crook. You said that a couple of times. Yeah. And when people say by hook or by crook, that tends to, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, have a certain negative connotation, because if it's you're attracting it from the universe, then it would appear that you don't have to do it by hook or by crook.
Well, no, I say by hook or by crook for the person out there who's a skeptic, it's just my figure of speech is saying it's going to happen one way or another, meaning whether you like it or not, whether you're putting out something bad or something good, something's going to happen. So that's just my way of reaffirming, at least in my experience and in the experience of anyone that I've worked with, it happens. So you can doubt it or you can give it a chance and see a result. And if you identify that result, again, it's all about strategically using it to your advantage. All I want, I don't even want people to give the universe credit. I don't want them to give me credit or my book credit. I just want them to, through their own life experience, get this result or get this thing based on that thought, observe it and notice it. And then they're at a point of agency where they can make a decision any place from there, where they're going to invite more or they're going to change directions or do anything else. So for me, by hook or by crook, from my standpoint, it's just a way of saying it's going to happen. Please be observant.
I like that. I like that definition. It just reminds me of this, you know, the time when I lost everything. I lost everything I owned aside from the clothes on my back. And I was living out of a hotel and I was like, okay, what do I need to do? I got to figure this out. And I start coming up with some very creative plans to get money in my mind. And I said, you know what? Because I've always felt that if I have to do anything illegal or unethical, then that's a lack of faith on my part. Yes. It doesn't. It means that I didn't trust God, the universe, whatever people call it, to deliver for me. And I stay very, very far away from the crook aspect.
Alan, and if I could, just real quick, you said one really important thing I wanted to notice. You identified by hook or by crook in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Law of attraction, by hook or by crook, love, God, sex. These are all loaded terms and definitions that we all bring our own meaning to. So it's another important piece just to identify when you're hearing an explanation from me or somebody else is to always keep in mind that my message is never going to be pure. It's going to be your interpretation of that message and how you process it, which by the way, and I can identify in all the panelists here, I think intuitively everyone's trying to make their message as straight laced as possible with that intuitive understanding that people are going to bring loaded stuff. So you want to try to make sure that one way or another, it's still going to be clicked in. So I just want to raise that because I know we're all going to say like a lot of stuff with loaded terms.
I like that. And I love, that's one of the reasons why I love conversations. Isha?
Yeah, it's just saying perception is projection, right? Like the way that you perceive things is your lens. And so if we can have that level of awareness, then we can recognize that a person's words are coming from their truth, and those same words in that same string to form that sentence can be received in a different way than what the person's meaning. I think this is where it's so important to actually get that clarification on what that person actually means. So I'm glad you actually asked the question, because I did notice that as well. And then when you asked it, I was like, oh, cool. Now I understand what Andrew actually means by that. And is in his frame of the world, that actually makes a lot of sense. It's very much in resonance with the message that he's conveying.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
And then also by hook or by crook is to me the same as, you know, failure is not an option, or what you just said, Sheree, integrity is more important and wasn't going to compromise it. So that's what I take from it. I think that's a very, very powerful statement.
Yes, I agree. Mike, love to hear your thoughts.
First of all, I love that what we're all trying to do is empower others. And that's what my book is all about also. And the financial planning is not for me to do it for you. It's to empower you so that you can feel successful, you can feel like you've achieved, and you can be proud of the result along the way. And it's so rewarding when we empower others to help themselves and realize their own potential, really, because so many people have so much more than they give themselves credit for.
Do you mentor? Do you do mentorship?
I think by accident, I do. college students. I find that my path changed so much because I was in engineering and I had done accounting work for my father when I was a little young and said, I don't want to do that. Then I got an MBA and I wanted to go to finances and I end up in accounting by around 27. I like talking to my clients' children who are students who think they know exactly what they want to do. And so they'll want to speak to me after they hear the things that I do. And I'll discuss with them, don't focus so heavily on that one item. Yes, maybe you'll end up there, but have you thought about all these areas that might be good for you, these other areas? So keep an open mind. So I mentor not just in just finances in these areas, but in just life planning. What I really would like to see happen is I would love to be able to have more time to go into high schools and the high schools let me do it to tell kids what these things are. What's in a paycheck? What's going to happen when I want to rent an apartment? How much do I have to make to buy a car? That's not done, and it should be done. It's not even done in college, and it should be done. For some reason, this very important part of life, we leave to chance. And I'm not sure why, but it's not received very well when I go to institutions and say, hey, I'll come in and have this half an hour or 15-minute talk once every month to your students. And I don't know why, it just doesn't work well. I'm not sure what's wrong with our society that we don't allow that to happen.
I don't know what's wrong with society, but I've had that conversation as well. And I don't want to project my own views on it. But one thing I will say is that while they don't have that on the campus, the first thing you see day one for the students is the credit card companies. The credit card companies are out there with their tents and their booths offer them to the students, but there's not a booth saying, okay, be careful about using this credit card or even accepting this credit card because this is how it can affect your life.
I should be in the next booth over.
Yes.
Right. Give them multiple options, right?
Well, it's so interesting because Sharif, like I remember that first business that I finally pulled the plug on, I left it with over $10,000 of debt, which most people have been through way worse. But what that did teach me is I learned in that moment about interest. In trying to pay that off, it was only, you know, I'm a full adult. Now I have to pay this stuff off. It's then when the impact of interest really hit me, where back in college, even when I was accumulating debt, I didn't feel it. So I agree with you and I agree with Mike in the sense that these are deeper conversations we should have. And I think, you know, society structured in such a way where there's a lot of it's debt based. And I think that's just cause it's the way we've been doing it. But it's, I think while a lot of people wouldn't agree, if we do finally get to the other side where we're not doing that, a lot of things economically and otherwise will open up for us in a way that we never could have anticipated. The question becomes, will we ever get there?
Well, I do a lot of mentoring and I think we will get there. And I think what Mike is saying is certainly the key. But the thing that that I emphasize a lot of my mentoring is that, again, the social conditioning is not necessarily your outcome. So what I mean by that, I find a lot of kids in college are getting kinesiology degrees. And my question is why? Everybody wants to be a physical trainer, but the moment they get their degree, there's no jobs and those jobs don't pay well right out of college. So why would you waste 4 years of your life getting a degree? Well, because social conditioning is saying you need to go to college, you need a degree. Well, and then in college, the teaching classes like entrepreneurship. And to me, I think that's just kind of a red herring because I coach football and I used to tell the kids, I can't teach heart. Just like you can't teach entrepreneurship. It's like you have to have that gene in you to to understand what it takes. You have to have the willingness, the risk tolerance. You have to be willing to, you know, take chances. So understanding that life is not some book you can grab and read, and college kids need to understand, get your degree that's going to suit you well. And that doesn't mean you have to work in an industry, but at least understand what you're doing, why you're doing it. And it's more than the textbook. Understand the group dynamics, understand the socialization, understand all those things in the college environment that's going to help you tremendously outside of college. Networking, understanding, building a small team, all those things are critical that one needs to know in that college environment or in that transition from youth to adulthood. And I think too, teaching them more about what adulthood really is. What does it mean to be responsible? You know, I have one young man, I call him my son today, running, put himself in a situation where he's in Texas by himself, no support system. And he called me up in frantic mindset the other day because the world was just coming down on him. Well, he was ill prepared for the situation he put himself in because he didn't properly, you know, think about step one, step two, step three. So that, I think that's critical in mentoring the young students and the young folks that's entering into life and to make them aware of what's going on around them and make them aware of expected outcomes and then teaching them how to put the right things out, put the right goals out, and be okay if you don't get that goal, but be okay if you get close to that goal and then just reestablish, make another goal. So I think these are some of the critical things that aren't taught or aren't given to our youth or in just some adults.
I agree.
Love that, Alan. Yeah, I'm sorry, Sharifa, yeah?
No. I was going to say Andrew.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, hearing you say that, what a thought that occurred to me that I'm inspired by, like, I don't have any kids right now, but just hearing you say this, if I did, at a reasonably, you know, maybe 12, 13 years old, I'd have my children start their own businesses and not just about understanding how to come up with a product or a service, but how to do customer service, to find tools that are affordable or free for them to implement what they need. You know, is it something where they can write a book on Amazon? Is it something where they do a channel on YouTube? Is it something where they actually create a product or service and they put themselves out there? And I would have them really go through the gamut. Like that first customer complaint that comes in, I literally sit down like, okay, what does this mean? Is this somebody that's like just doesn't exist, or is this someone that we want to take care of? Or an issue comes in with finances. Okay, what does this mean? How we get around it? So hearing you say that, I would hope that a lot more people, a lot more parents, and let's be honest, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak to how hard it is and how much you have on your plate, but to whatever measure I can say, I would hope that parents are encouraged to put their kids through those kinds of experiences so that by the time they are in college or even past it, they know what it's like to be an entrepreneur. They know what it's like to deal with the customer. They know what it's like to deal with financial issues. They know what it's like to have a little debt, a little interest. They know all those different pieces so they're more empowered to be stronger, but as they go into their 20s and they get older and older, and hopefully they could also mentor other people.
That's right. And I think the biggest thing that people, you know, that they miss in that is this idea that we don't have to follow the system. Like, I wish, you know, when I left school that somebody told me, hey, Isha, you don't actually have to follow the system. I remember when I was 5 years old saying to my parents, I'm going to go to school, then I'm going to go to university. And actually, Mike, I have an engineering degree as well. So I actually studied electrical engineering, thought I was going to do that, and then realized that's so not what I wanted to do. But in my culture and through the programming that I had, my options were doctor, lawyer, engineer, right? And so in my family, I became an engineer, my sister became a lawyer, and all my cousins are doctors. And that's just how it was. So then when I decided to go off and teach meditation and energy healing for a living, it was like way left field, black sheep kind of material. And now I look back on that and go, wow, like the last probably 7 odd years that I've been doing this stuff, there's actually been so much unraveling of that programming because nobody told me that there was another way. And in my reality, there wasn't another way until everything fell apart in my life. And I was like, oh shoot, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm. That is so powerful. It's so interesting. A couple of people mentioned the whole aspect of their life falling apart. Andrew talks about his life falling apart. Alan talked about him having to get away in order to make this change. Isha had this amazing epiphany. What did you call it, Isha?
Spiritual awakening, I guess.
Awakening, that was it. You had this awakening. Yeah. When your life, Mike, was it always this easy for you?
Well, maybe I'm making it look easy, but no, of course not. But I have not. I've been lucky enough to avoid a major pitfall in my life. Maybe because I'm the fourth boy and I saw the problems my brothers had, if any. But I've had some setbacks in my athletics related to certain health aspects, which I've had to work through. And I have successfully done that. And I still do my long workouts and I have my fun. Even though the doctor said at first, you shouldn't do that. I said, I negotiated with him and we figured out a way to do it. So no, not a lot of setbacks, but I think it's because I'm a super planner from even a young kid. I think I'm too afraid not to succeed. So it makes me overplan. And I'm sure my kids have inherited that OCD-ish a little bit. And I always tell them, don't get upset at some of the things that you think are negative in your life, like being too OCD. Understand that those same things help you succeed and embrace them and control them and manage them. But one thing I would like to let everybody know, the viewers, is most of society has financial problems. You are not alone. Most people have debt. Most people have times in their life, even if they didn't always, they had times like they did. So a lot of the blocks to doing the planning I'm talking about relate to, I don't deserve it. I don't know how to do it. I don't make enough. I have a problem. Most people have those problems. If you want to get through it, it's a matter of just focus and knowing that reading a very short book and empowering yourself and also surrounding yourself with positive influencers who say you can do it, show you how to do it, rather than saying, no, you messed up. It's not going to work for you.
I like that, Mike. It seems like you just gave us your closing statement. So a little too early, but it was good.
I got more to say.
Good. Because we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Isha.
For anyone who's watching, you know, thank you so much. And I guess my key message from this is that we all have the power to create the life that we want. There is no one on this planet that doesn't have the capacity to do that. Of course, my specialty is helping people on the spiritual side of things. And then that does ripple out through, you know, to health and finance and all those other wonderful areas. And I guess, yeah, if you want to connect with me, reach out and learn more about how to connect with yourself. I would absolutely love to support you in that and see where we can take it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Alan, what do you have for us?
I like to say that, one, don't be afraid to fail. I mean, you have to fail to succeed. Don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to walk down a path that's not natural or that's uncomfortable. You have to embrace it around you. Understand that there are systems out there. Know that you need to recognize them, and don't let your cultural background or upbringing or societal training prevent you from doing the things you need to do. I think it's very key that you set the tone as to who, as Isha just said, it's who you want to be, and stick to it. Have strong morals, strong values, strong integrity, never compromising for anyone. You don't have to go along to get along. You do have to be focused on what it is that you want to achieve and be real about it, be honest with yourself. And if you do have a setback, don't let that setback define who you are. You know, just brush it off and keep moving. With me, to learn more about the system, go to alanmaxwellauthor.com and you'll be able to see the best-selling novel that I wrote, and it talks about the story and it gives you some really good nuggets. I got 15 rules in there. They're my rules. These are rules that I live by and I don't compromise. But again, communication and understanding is really key. And just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I had a friend that wrote a book called Do It Afraid. You have to get comfortable doing it afraid.
So what's rule number one?
Rule number one is seek, identify a mentor that's out there.
I like that. Wonderful. Thank you, Alan. Andrew, what do you have for us?
Well, I want to thank you, Sharifa, for having me along with these awesome people. I also want to say, based on what everything's been said here, I think it really illustrates it doesn't matter what level of difficulty anyone might be going through their life, whether it was really hard or kind of hard or whatever it might be, you don't need to be suffering to a certain level in order to make a huge comeback. And I would just tell people, while I have a lot of techniques in my book and I have a lot of different things, the technique that I use every single day, which anyone can do, whether you believe in law of attraction or not, is I pull up my phone and I record all the things that I'm grateful for. And I send it to my friend across the country and he does the same thing for me. I have, again, strategically installed that social pressure. I don't want to let my friend down. That's given me a reason and excuse to feel gratitude for a few minutes a day, every single day, no matter what's going on. And even if I'm lying or delusional and this law of attraction thing isn't real, there are studies that tell you that gratitude will improve your sleep, increase your confidence, reduce your anxiety. In other words, you can't lose by doing it. So I would recommend, there's a free method. Just go for a couple minutes, think of all the things you're grateful for each and every day. It will make a dramatic impact that I can't overstate. Anyone that wants to check out the book, they're welcome to go to lastlawofattractionbook.com, which will auto forward to the Amazon listing and Kindle paperback or audiobook. But you don't have to pull out your wallet to learn from me. You could always go to youtube.com/AndrewCapp. Free content, new methods, fun conversations. But most importantly, take whether any panelists, whatever we're saying here, whatever resonates the most for you, please take whatever you can from whatever person and use it strategically to your advantage. That's my hope for you today. And again, Sharifa, thank you for having me and thanks to the panelists for being here with me.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Andrew. Mike, you have more for us? There's more gold?
I have a little bit more. First of all, I'd encourage everybody to take the information the other three guests have given them, which if they use that will open them up completely to be able to do all the planning I've suggested, first of all, definitely. And then if you want to do that sort of planning to get started, what you should do is go to my website, which is socal.bernsteinfinancial.com. You'll see the picture of me there. You'll see a click to the book. The book will take you to Amazon for $5. You can get this book that will tell you everything you need to know to get started. And you can click on my YouTube channel where you can see Michael Bernstein doing 1 to 3 minute workouts and giving you financial and tax tips along the way, which I never thought was gonna be so hard to concentrate on giving a financial tip while working out. So you'll find it interesting.
I have to watch that because I can barely talk when I'm working out.
Exactly.
I'm trying to breathe in, breathe out my meditation while I'm working. So the fact that you can even speak while you're working out is incredible. This has been an amazing show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. And it definitely doesn't mean we still do not need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. And though I appreciate you watching the show, I appreciate you sharing the show. You know my ask. It's the same ask every day, Monday through Friday. Please support our guests. Pick up a couple of copies of their book. Visit them on their website. Check out their YouTube channel. You might want to have a channeling session with Isha. I don't know. But support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to be able to assist you, to share their stories and their journeys with you. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But as always, don't just visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.